Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and the phone lines are wide open for you at 844-322-2742. If you have Bible questions, or if you're struggling with some family issue, some workplace issue, whatever the issue might be, well, we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number again is 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast on a delayed basis on CSN or Sirius XM, well, you can get your questions to us by voicemail at the same number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
And we really do want you to call right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to chat with you on today's broadcast. You know, Bob, there's so much going on in the world. There's lots of confusion out there in the minds of people, a lot of unrest, a lot of uncertainty. And the Word of God has answers for all of that, as we've talked about time and time again. In all of our lives, we discover that the grace of God is sufficient to meet every need that we have at any particular moment in our lives. And now is no different. And we certainly want to help connect you to the grace of God, to really empower you to live in that grace each and every day. So if you have a question about something that you're going through, something that you're experiencing, some feelings that just aren't the feelings that you want right now, we would love to point you into the Word of God and connect you to the love of God. And again, the number is 844-322-2742. And this month we're talking about the love of God and the assurance that we can have as people that we truly are loved by God every moment of every day. We started out this month talking about the Apostle John and how in his gospel account he never identified himself by his name. He only identified himself as the one whom Jesus loved, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I've always been fascinated by that. I think that is just an unbelievable way to describe yourself. You know, for some, they may hear that and think that you're arrogant, think you're prideful. But that's not the case at all. John was humbled and overwhelmed by the fact that the God of this universe would actually love him and would demonstrate it in such a powerful way through the death of Jesus Christ. And he talks about that in his first letter. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So how in the world did John connect the dots? How did he connect the dots between the love of God and himself? Well, it was the cross of Jesus Christ that bridged that gap, that drew the line from the love of God to his, to John's heart. Mm-hmm. And so he saw in that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and he was an eyewitness to it. He was there. He saw the Roman soldiers nail him to the cross. They saw him lift him up and suspend him between heaven and earth. He watched Jesus as it became harder and harder for him to breathe, and he heard his final words, "It is finished." John was an eyewitness to that. He saw it, and what he saw in black and white was a demonstration of God's love for him. And after the resurrection, and after Jesus had sent the Spirit to take up residence in the hearts of men and pour that love in John's heart, man, it became so real. He was so overwhelmed. And as he wrote, all he could think about is, I'm the guy Jesus loves. I saw that love demonstrated. I saw it firsthand. I heard the words of love. I heard the words of eternal life. And it just blew me away. And if there's any way that I want to go through life from this point forward, it is this: knowing that I'm the one whom Jesus loves. If you're struggling with the love of God, you're questioning, doubting, wondering if God actually loves you, take a fresh look at the cross. do exactly what John did and say, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. Jesus died. And in that death was an incredible demonstration of the love of God for you. And in that death, he took away your sins. He took the punishment that you justly deserved to free you to experience the life of God, the love of God, day in and day out.
Yeah, that is good stuff, Bob. Thank you. It's the kind of good news you hear each day here at Basic Gospel, and we'd love to hear from you if you have something you're struggling with, if you have a particular Bible question. We would love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. If it's roughly 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and it's your opportunity to call directly into the studio right now. Once again, that number, 844-322-2742. Here at Basic Gospel, Bob Christopher continues to produce excellent resources to help you, our listeners, enter in or continue to live every day in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And to say thank you for standing with us in support of Basic Gospel in September, we have a new resource that Bob has produced. It's called Trail of Assurance. From start to finish, the Bible tells you that you are loved by God, and we want you to have that bedrock assurance that this truth of this truth as you walk through your life every day. Request your copy when you make your September gift to support Basic Gospel. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net and begin your trek along the trail of assurance. Again, donate anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in by email. This is from Jay, and the question is, he says, I know that Catholics believe in purgatory, but I have never seen any verses pertaining to that. Why would purgatory be necessary if we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus and are joint heirs with Jesus?
Well, it's not necessary, and the reason you've never read about it in the Word of God is because it's not in the Word of God.
That's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, that's a really good reason. It's something that is in other documents and that sort of thing, other writings of the Catholic Church. But as far as purgatory in the Bible, you're not going to find it in the Bible. You're not going to find that concept in the Bible. And we have to come to grips with the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient to take away our sins. There's no need for further purification. There's no need for further cleansing. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, if you have believed the gospel, the fact that Christ died for your sins according to scriptures, that he was buried on the third day, he was raised back to life again according to scriptures, and then he ascended into heaven. If you have staked your life on that gospel message and put your full weight of trust in Jesus Christ, then you have been clothed, as he said, in the righteousness of God, which means your sins have been forgiven, which means you have been cleansed of all unrighteousness. Now, that's good news.
Yes, it is.
So the fact that you have been made righteous is proof positive that everything else has been taken care of as well, the cleansing and the forgiving aspect that God took care of through the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to realize that the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient. His sacrifice took away our sins, and in believing that, we've been purified once and for all, so there's no need for a further purification to prepare us for heaven.
Yes. 844-322-2742. If you're listening to the live broadcast, again, it's your opportunity to call straight in, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Kelvin, who's listening to us on The Word today in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Kelvin.
Kelvin, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I have a question. I recently talked to a deacon at church regarding the...
Kelvin, let me interrupt you just for a second. If you could turn your radio down in the background, it's a little bit confusing there. Thank you for doing that.
Sorry, I recently talked to a deacon that's working with me at church, and I stated that I would like to need a sermon. And, the thing is, how do I know if I'm actually ready, or how do I know if I am doing something correct, or how do I know what to actually do the sermon about regarding, I'm guessing, my personal life?
Well, Kelvin, I think that's where
my walk with Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's where you always, that's where you would normally start. You would talk about your story. And, you know, so many people want to get up on a stage or behind a pulpit or that sort of thing, and they want to teach or preach because they want the praise and the accolades that guy behind the pulpit is getting. And so they think, well, if I ever get a chance, then I've got to come up with some fancy topic to discuss, and I've got to show my spiritual knowledge and my deep insight and wisdom and all of those sort of things. And usually when somebody gets up and does something like that, they're going to fall flat on their faces because they're not really speaking about something that they personally know about. So they're just trying to make themselves look good in the sight of others. So if you want to have an impact, if you want to connect with people, I think you telling your story, because that's what you know. You know that you were once dead in sin, Kelvin, and that at a point in time, Christ saved you. And there were details surrounding that brought you to the point where you realized that there was a problem inside of you, and that you realized the solution was in Jesus Christ. And at that moment, the moment that you believed, you crossed over from death to life. So you know your story. You know how it took place. And you know the trials and tribulations that you were going through. You know the questions that you were asking and hoping to find answers to. Just put that together and talk to people about what you know. Tell them your story, and I think that will connect with people. And then from there, if you have more opportunities, you just build on that.
Well, that is really useful information, and I can see what you are saying, and I really do appreciate it.
Well, Kelvin, I hope you get that opportunity. And, of course, you have the opportunity to tell your story in all kinds of settings. You know, you go to lunch with a friend, you can tell your story in that setting, and you can tell it in such a way that it's not offensive. Why? Because it's your story, and it may be of interest to somebody. So there are all kinds of ways that you can tell your story, and I would, if I'm in your shoes, I just start taking advantage of some of those in small group settings and, you know, individual conversations that you might be having. And that's how God is going to prepare and equip you for a greater impact down the road.
Well, thank you very much. I will take that into thought, and I really do appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Kelvin. And here's what I want to do. I want to put you on hold, and then I'm going to get some information from you. We're going to get some information, and I want to send you my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And the first two chapters of that book, I tell my story. And so I think that could be a good outline or a good guide for you in putting your story together. And so let me put you on hold. We'll send you the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And then will you keep us posted?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I will.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Kelvin. Thanks for your call. And thanks for your heart for wanting to share the good news with others.
Yeah.
You keep going forward with that desire, and God will open up lots of doors for you. You hang on,
Thank
Kelvin.
You very much.
All right.
You All right.
On.
I will.
844-322-2742. We have an open line for you here at Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742.
Well, Courtney's watching us on YouTube today, and she has a question. Is it possible for people to see spirits? Well, I don't think so. I mean, maybe some folks have said I've seen spirits and that sort of thing. You're certainly not going to argue with their story or what they're saying, but I don't know that we can actually see spirits. You know, God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God, for us to see him, you know, he sent Jesus, and Jesus reveals what God is like to you and to me.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's invisible. You know, we're not going to see him with our naked eye. So God sent Jesus, and in the face of Jesus, we see the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
So God is always going to have to manifest himself in some way for us, for him to be visible to us, spiritually visible to us.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about God, God is spirit. We must worship him in spirit and truth. He has made himself known to us in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have calls on the screen, and it's good to see these folks calling in today.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Rockwall, Texas, and talk to Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing okay. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Y'all doing a good job. I've just got a question and get out of y'all's hair real quick. But it's from 1 John 5, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, John says, if you see a fellow believer sinning in the way that does not lead to death, comma, you should pray and God will give that person life. Well, we know that the refusal to believe in Jesus Christ is the unpardonable sin. But I think he's talking about another sin maybe. Could you have Bob try to explain that for us, please? And I thank you very much. I will hang up.
Well, thanks for that question, Pat. And this certainly is a very difficult a passage to get a full answer to, a very clear answer to. There's lots of people who say, hey, you know, John didn't write a specific sin because it could be anything, and God is going to weigh that and determine. But I think, you know, based on just the overall context of the book of 1 John and John's gospel account, that when he talks about sin, he's talking about the root of sin. And he says, Jesus said that he was going to send the Spirit out into the world, and the Spirit was going to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment concerning sin because they do not believe in me. So that's the ultimate sin that leads to death. It's the sin that led to death back in the garden, the rejection of God's life. The exchanging of the truth of God, the exchanging of the life of God for the lie of Satan and the emptiness of the world. Yeah. That was the exchange that took place in the garden. And so now God is going to have to reveal to us what the real nature of sin is, what the root of sin is. And he does that through the Spirit to show us that it is unbelief in Jesus. But those who recognize that and still raise the fist to God and say, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to trust you. I don't want to trust your son. Get away from me. I want to creep back into the darkness and just do my life in the darkness. Yeah. And I want that forever. That's ultimately the sin that leads to death. And I think that's really what John is getting at here in this particular passage. So thanks for your call. We sure hope that helps. Well, let's keep it going, Bob. Let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to our good friend Jerome. Hi, Jerome.
Hey, Jerome.
Hey, Bob and Bob. You guys, man, I don't really have a question. I just called to tell you guys that I love you, man, and we're praying for you, and we're doing great down here in Temple, Texas, even amongst the pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I watched you guys online a little bit Sunday morning and really was blessed and encouraged by your message there, and loved seeing some of the comments from all the folks, all the brothers and sisters down at Real Life Bible Church in Temple, Texas. So.
Yeah. Well, great, guys. I know other people have questions, but I just wanted to encourage you guys and let you know that we love you.
Well, thank you so much, Jerome. The feeling is mutual. The reality is mutual. And
yes,
sure, appreciate that encouraging comment today. Thank you, Jerome. Yeah. Tell everybody down there hello for me and Gina and the rest of the team here at Basic Gospel.
We sure will.
All righty.
Thanks, Jerome.
Bye-bye.
Bob had this question from Brittany. A listener wrote in that in a humanities class that she had to interview a Mormon and asked, how do you deal with the opposing sides of religion in this particular situation? What would be your first step in the process?
Well, that is a fantastic question. And here are the things that are important to understand. Here are the critical topics. The first one is Jesus. And you always start with Jesus. What does somebody think about Jesus? And that's how you start a conversation. And in Mormonism, they have some thoughts about Jesus. They've written some doctrinal statements about Jesus. And when you line up what they say about Jesus with what the Word of God has to say about Jesus, you see some contrast there. They're not on the same page.
Yeah.
So for them, Jesus is more of an example to follow, that he kind of deified himself and climbed up the ladder. And if we follow kind of what he did, then we can climb up that ladder as well. Well, that's a different Jesus than what the Word of God reveals. And so you start with Jesus. You ask what they think about Jesus. You kind of put their thoughts down on one side, and here's what the Word of God has to say. Here are the things that Jesus claimed about himself. Do these things line up? And if they don't, which one are you going to believe? Which one makes more sense? Which one is more plausible? Because if you look at what Jesus said, and this is very important for us to understand, if you look at what he said, you can't come away with an idea that he was a neat guy or that he was a great moral teacher if you don't believe that he is God. Why? Because he claimed to be God. He claimed to have the authority to forgive sins. He claimed to be able to give life to those dead in sin. He claimed to be the light of the world. He claimed to be the bread of life. He claimed all of these things. And these aren't claims that just come from a good moral teacher.
Mm-hmm.
These are claims from somebody who thinks of himself as God in human flesh. Now, you either have to determine that he's crazy, that he is delusional, or he's just lying, or he's telling the truth. So if you look at what he says, you have to come to grips with the fact that he's either God or he isn't. And that's where the conversation needs to go in all of these religious discussions. What do you think about Jesus? Do you think that he's God, or do you think that he's something other than God?
Well, that's a great answer, Bob, and thank you, and hope you are listening, Brittany, and keep listening, and if you have further questions, why, give us a call or drop us an email. I want to remind you, friends, to join Bob Christopher online Sunday morning live. That's Sunday mornings 9:30 Central on both Facebook and YouTube. You'll find direct links to both platforms at the top of the homepage, basicgospel.net. Just choose your favorite, Facebook or YouTube. That's Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday morning live with Bob Christopher. Please also remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your support to keep the good news coming. As always, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net, and as you make your September donation, request your copy of our new resource that Bob has prepared. It's called Trail of Assurance. Trail of Assurance. Basicgospel.net. Be sure to join us, and we would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Also, Basic Gospel's Hear It, Believe It, Live It daily devotional is a great way to start each day in the calm assurance that in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. The devotional arrives first thing every morning in your email inbox, ready to help you get the day started. Again, subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of our website at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow as we continue on our great teaching series, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.